We're going to Tivot Shalom on the Parsha, Parshat Mishpatim. We're on page Kuf Pei Dalid, the piece Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma. Vayavo Moshe Vayisaper La'am et Kol Divrei Hashem Ve'et Kol HaMishpatim Vayan Kol La'am Kol Echad Ve'yamru Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naaseh. Moshe came and he told to the nation all of the words of Hashem and all of the Mishpatim, and the nation responded in one voice and they said, everything that Hashem said, we will do. What's missing there?
Nishma.
Nishma, right. So there's actually two psukim in that paragraph, and one of them ends that way. So as we read further, we'll see the Nasav Nishma pasuk. Vayichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem. Moshe wrote down all of the words of Hashem. Vayikach sefer abrit vayikra bozne ha'am vayomru kol asher diber Hashem Nasav Nishma. And those two psukim are relatively close to each other. They're in one paragraph towards the end of Parshat Mishpatim. Hine parasha zo haita od lifnei matan Torah. This parasha is before matan Torah. Kedita bechazal umavab Rashi, as Chazal say and Rashi brings down. V'tzarich peor lama nitzva rakan. Why is this? If they said naaseh v'nishma before receiving the Torah, why is this written all the way at the end of Parshat Mishpatim? We talked about in Shir Klali this week that Yitro and Mishpatim are two halves of matan Torah, two halves of one whole. But either way, it should have been all the way at the beginning of Parshat Yitro. Certainly not at the end of Parshat Mishpatim.
That's what most people think.
What?
That Naaseh V'Nishma is in Parshat Yitro.
Correct. And they look for it and they can't find it, and it's not there.
Where it is?
Because you're a Harova. Because you're a Harova alum. Yes, you're a Harova alum. They have this whole thing where they memorize the content of each chapter by the number. It's an interesting thing. My wife and Elior have bonded over this. I just read Chumash.
Yeah, but now you only remember
24/7. It doesn't matter what parak it's in. It matters what parsha it's in. It matters the content, not the numbers. The numbers are not Jewish. But it's a great way to memorize all of Chumash.
I'm thinking it's in Parsha Yitro.
Moving right along. Da'af she'ein mukdam u'mu'achar b'Torah. That even though we're working under the presumption of ein mukdam u'mu'achar b'Torah, certainly Rashi is, that there is no chronological order to Torah. B'vadai yish kavana miyuchedet sh'parashat kabbalat Torah nechleket b'Torah lishnayim. There is clearly an intentional kavana here that the Kabbalah Torah is divided into two. Chalaka b'parashat Yitro, half in Parshat Yitro, v'chalaka b'sof mishpatim, and half of it in Parshat Mishpatim, which is actually the content of Shir Klali from this week. Uve'emsap hefsik b'chol parashat mishpatim, and that you have mishpatim in the middle. Now, as an aside here, just to emphasize, and this is something which sometimes we don't think about as critically as we should, that when people hear ein mukdam u'mu'achar b'Torah, they hear that the Torah has no intrinsic order, because anything can show up at any point. And what he's pointing out here needs to be emphasized, which is no, that we presume that the most important order is chronology. The most important order goes by time, and that's not true. What we're saying here with Ein Mukdam U'Mu'achar B'Torah is very deep. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a deeper organization, that there's a deeper wisdom to Torah that transcends chronology. That time is not the most important factor. That the content and the essence of the Torah is the most important factor, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't restrict himself, so to speak, by the chronological order of events. That the way that the Torah is written is meant to convey the deepest possible meaning of Torah beyond the way that it actually occurred in terms of the actual order of history, which is a very deep concept. Ein mukdam u'mu'achar b'Torah means that there was such a deep reason to put things where they belong that the fact that it's not chronologically in order isn't even important. And so that pushes us, and that's what he's saying here, to figure out why then did HaKadosh Baruch Hu organize the Torah Dafka this way? What was so important that it forced him to break chronology, that this deeper meaning was so much more important? And even though Chazal are duration, Rashi brings down that when it says ve'ele hamishpatim, that it's adding on to the Aseret HaDibrot, it's adding on to Parshat Yitro. And they say that just like the Aseret HaDibrot were from Har Sinai, so too were the Mishpatim from Har Sinai. It could have still put, meaning he's saying that it could have been the Aseret HaDibrot, this end paragraph of Naaseh V'Nishma, and then all of the Mishpatim. Because if this is sort of that conclusion of the Aseret HaDibrot phase, the way that he's understanding it, so then just flip the order of Parshat Mishpatim. It wouldn't undo the meaning of Ve'ilah Mishpatim, but do it in the order of Aseret HaDibrot, finish Yitro, Kabbalat HaTorah, Naaseh V'Nishma, and then Ve'ilah Mishpatim. And that would make it, in this presentation, a much clearer narrative. But obviously there's a deeper meaning that's lying beneath the surface.
Would that be chronologically, or that just...
I don't know if he's implying if that would help the chronology or not. It sounds like he's saying it would, but it's not clear to me. For me, a lot of what's happening, I don't have a full clarity of what's happening in Kabbalat Torah in general. I'm clear on the timetable that gets us to the 50th day, that gets us to Vav Sivan. What happens in Yitro Mishpatim, Shruma Tetzava Kitisa Vayakal Pakude, the timeline there is very unclear to me, especially around Matan Torah. When were the Aseret Dibro given? How was Matan Torah, you know, the whole Torah linked into that? And when is it given as a machloket? Was it given all then, some of it then? There's a lot to figure out, and that's why Eimut HaMechaber Torah comes up a lot here, is because there are many different shitot, to my understanding. So I don't have, personally, I don't have clarity on that. We also can be medayik on the words that Moshe came and told over to the nation all of the words of Hashem. The word vayisaper is a very unusual word to be used. For Moshe just very infrequently is vayisaper. Vayomer Moshe, vayidaber Moshe. It's an unusual lashon of vayisaper. So why is that lashon being emphasized here? The Divrei Moshe says, "Me'arav Hakadosh, Rabbi Moshe, midolina zal, makshe od bazeh." He asks even further, "Madua batchila ketiv rak vayomer kol asher diber Hashem nasa." The question that we pointed out before: why the first time, a few psukim earlier, it says everything that that Bnei Yisrael said, everything that Hashem says we will do, and then only later, "Vak laachar vayichtov Moshe vayikra bozne ha'am," after he wrote it down and then he said it into the ears of the nation, "Ketiv vayomru." Why does that Naaseh v'Nishma only come later? And why is it only Naaseh first? Odik Shesham, he also asks, Hakushia Yidual, Ma Sheikdimu Yisrael Naaseh l'Nishma, the famous question of why Bnei Yisrael preceded first Naaseh, and then Nishma we will do, and then we will hear. How can you commit to doing something you don't even know what it is yet? If you don't know what it is, how can you be guaranteed that you're going to be able to fulfill it? How can you commit to such a thing? That which Chazal say, that Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah. Well, that's complicated. How did he keep the whole Torah if he didn't have the Torah yet? There was no Torah in Avraham Avinu's time. So Chazal say it. What does that mean? How could Avraham Avinu have kept the Torah before it was given? How would he have known what to do? So the Divrei Moshe says, this is something which is Mifursam. This is something which appears in many Sfarim. That the Taryag Mitzvot parallel the 613 primary limbs and sinews, of the body. The 613 primary parts of the body. Shekemo baguf kach yesh b'neshama, and that's so too, just like there are 613 mitzvot that parallel the 613 physical aspects of the human body, so too, the physical, everything in the physical world is only a manifestation of a spiritual root. So too, do each one of the 613 mitzvot parallel one of the 613 primary elements of the soul, which give rise to the 613 parts of the human body. Shekemo baguf kach yesh b'neshama. So too, if it's in the goof, then it must be that in its source, in the neshama, there are ramach everim and shisagidim hamekablim chiyutam al yidei kiyum targa mitzvot, and that all of these are getting their life force from the mitzvot. When a person keeps the mitzvah, they're giving life force to the comparable part of the neshama and the guf. V'imkein min ha'ra'oi haya shekemo she'ein tzorech liftot et ha'adam le'echol l'tzorech kiyum gufo. And if so, just like it's not necessary to force a person to eat in order to sustain their body, kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara bo kelim lazeh shaguf mitzad tivo mitaveh mi'atzmo le'echol la'achayot et gufo mibli shum that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the body that it wouldn't, the body doesn't need to be compelled to eat. We have a natural inclination, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed us, that we have a desire to eat and drink because we need to live. And so God in His chesed built us with this innate system that tells us we need to eat so that we may live. Vafilu tinok ben yomo makiru mevin miatzmo re'avo nafsho v'ocheat shema'achalim oto. And even a child, even a one day old infant, has such an innate sense of when we need to eat. It's part of who and what it means to be a human being. To recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built us from the very first day of life, that we need to eat, that even a baby cries on its first day of life before it knows what eating is. It inherently knows to cry when it needs to eat because we need to eat to live. V'arei shekach ra'oi haya liyot binan ha'Torah. That so too is it by Torah. Shekol ish Yisrael yet ta'ev me'atzmo l'kayim kol taryaga mitzvot. She'amazon ruchini lishmato. That it's proper for a person that when they reach a certain level, that they feel a desire, they feel a hunger, they feel a thirst to keep the mitzvot, which are the spiritual food for our body and our souls. Guys, you want the photocopies? That's the spiritual food for our souls. Umashe einze kachu machamat godel achyut hachomer. And the fact that we don't experience this, the fact that we don't feel that starvation for the mitzvot that we're missing, that we don't feel that thirst for the mitzvot that we're not yet keeping, that's because of the murkiness of our physicality. Our physicality blocks us from being able to receive those signals. Shemi rov gashmuto eino mesugal lehargishu lavin shuminan ruchani. That from our deep physicality, we can't feel that ruchni desire for the mitzvot. V'chomriyut omedet kemechitza and our physicality stands like a mechitza, like a divider between us and our spirituality. Achein, but Avraham Avinu zikech et chomro b'tachlit hazikuch. Avraham Avinu purified his physicality to the nth degree. He was complete. All of his physicality had been purified. Okay, Moshe Amru Chazal say, Bin Shalosh Shanim Hikirat Boro, that when Avinu was only 3 years old, he was already able to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu because he cleansed himself on a spiritual level so deeply. Ve'acharkach Nitzraf B'Kivshan Ha'esh. He went into the fiery furnace. Bor Kasim Velo Nishtayer Bo Shum Shemetz Shalchomer Ad Shalosh Shaltabo Ha'esh. Top of the next page. That, what does it mean? How is it possible that Avram Avinu was able to be thrown into the fiery furnace in Or Kasdim and come out unscathed? How is that possible? Because he didn't have any physicality. There was nothing to burn. His physical body was just the most fine level of physicality just to hold his neshama down on earth. And there was nothing for the fire to burn. That's where he was at. V'lachin, first word on the next page, kuf pehei. V'lachin, lo haya Avram v'nu tzarich lilimura Torah v'mitzvot. He didn't need Torah and mitzvot. Kivan she'evarav hayu nimshachim mi'atzmam cheftzam l'kayim ha'mitzvah. That just like a baby, the first day it's born knows how to suck. His body knew what to do. Because his body knew was screaming out to what it needed for its spiritual nourishment to go and do the mitzvot. They wanted to do the mitzvot. Just like a person has a desire to eat. So Avram Avinu, before he was even given over the Torah mitzvot, he just needed to keep the Torah. As the Sfarim say, when the pasuk says Vayishlach Avraham et Yado Vayikach at Hamachel Ishkot Beno, the Tzvot Shalom loves to quote this all the time, especially in Sefer Bereishit, that it says that the pasuk goes into too much detail, so to speak, that it seems to be superfluous. That when he goes at Akedat Yitzchak to Shecht Yitzchak, it says Vayishlach Avraham et Yado, that Avram sent out his hand Vayikach at Hamachel Ishkot Beno, and he picked up the knife to Shecht his son. What could it have said?
He picked up the knife.
He picked up the knife. Yeah, what does it mean? He sent out his hand. This like whole process. He went and picked up the knife. What does it mean? It's beautiful the way he understands it. That the words that he sent out his hand seem to be superfluous, like Hannah said. That Avraham's body was linked into Ratzon Hashem. And Avraham's body would only do Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem harei haya be'emet lo lishkot et Yitzchak. And at the end of the day, did God really want him to shecht Yitzchak or not?
No.
So Avraham didn't know that yet, but his body was linked into Ratzon Hashem. So his body didn't want to pick up the knife because it was be'emes connected to Ratzon Hashem. So what did he have to do? Ela diyotchev erav v'chulei v'ratzon Hashem arei haya b'emet lo lishkot et Yitzchak v'lakach me'anei yado lakach ata matachelet. His hand refused to pick up the knife. His hand rebelled against him. V'haya tzarich lishloach yado b'koach. He needed to force his hand out to pick up that knife. Because at that point, for Avraham, he needed to go forth with Akedat Yitzchak, but his hand, which was linked into Ratzon Hashem Be'emes, wouldn't do it. And therefore, Vayishlach et Yado, he forced himself to pick it up, because his body didn't want to do it. beautiful understanding of where Avraham Avinu was at and what those psukim mean. We're already up to the part of the semester where I'm so overtired I can't get words out. I apologize. I'm starting to stutter already. It's only February. That's 3 months ago. V'alpizet. Mevaeri nyan naaseh kodem l'nishma. Based on this, we can understand the meaning of why we proceed nishma with naaseh. Why do we say naaseh v'nishma? Dinei amru chazal say, Yisrael mishamdu al har Sinai, when Yisrael was standing at Har Sinai, paskaz humatan. Zuamatan, they're all of the dirt, the spiritual dirt, that was inside of them, the spiritual impurities, that zuhama, it left them entirely. Haynu shenizdakech hachumriut shelahem biyoter, that they had been totally purified of all physicality. Val yideze higia lemadrega sheigdimu lenaaseh lenishma, that because of that they were able to say naaseh and then nishma. They would say, we will do and then we will hear why. Sheod lifnei sheishmeu ma laasot. Because even before they heard what to do, their body was already poised and ready and linked into Ratzon Hashem and ready to do it. We can also, based on this, understand what she says in the Haggadah. Ilu kirvanu lifnei Hashem, lifnei Har Sinai, v'lo natan lanu et haTorah dayenu. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have just brought us before Har Sinai and he didn't give us the Torah, it would be enough. When the Chorah, what does that mean? Ma'ya lanu mizesh shekirvanu lifnei Har Sinai, yim lo natan lanu et haTorah. Meaning, you should ask the question every time we say it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would have been enough. Just bring us to Har Sinai, you wouldn't give us the Torah. Then you know what we would have had? A kumzitz. I don't know what we would have had. We'd have been sitting there at Har Sinai with nothing. What does it mean? It would have been fine if you just would have brought us to Har Sinai and given us the Torah. This answers that question. That's what he's saying. This answers that question. How so? El apirush ki be'amdam al Har Sinai. Just by standing at Har Sinai in that moment of spiritual purity, paskazu amatam mizakei chachomer shalehem, that there are all of the spiritual impurities left them. And they had no more physicality left. Then even if they wouldn't have actively received the Torah, it wouldn't have mattered. They still would have automatically been doing Ratzon Hashem and gone and done the mitzvot. Just like Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah. Achein. Baal HaGadah Mesayim Shetova Kfula Umichupelet L'Makom Aleinu. The Baal HaGadah finishes off and says that what a doubly how much wonder is it that God gave us the Torah. Shekirvanu Lifnei Har Sinai V'Natan Lanu Et HaTorah, that he gave us both, because you can then say, okay, fine, so then just bring us to Har Sinai and don't bother giving us the Torah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah. Ki B'Matan Torah Nosfa Lahem Madriga Chadasha, because through Matan Torah they achieve a new level. What's that? Milvad Sheshekvar Nizdakechu Ad Sheivrehem Yasu Miatzmam Et Kol Tarega Mitzvah. That beyond their body being purified, that they would automatically do the Tarag Mitzvot. Od Hosifanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzivoy Al Kol HaMitzvot. He also then gave us the command to do the Mitzvot. Not just that we would naturally go and do it, but that he added to that the reality of us being commanded to go and fill those Mitzvot. Shehu Madriga Yotir Gvohad, that's a much higher level. Kemo Shamru Chazal, Chazal say, Gadol HaMetzuvah Ve'oseh Mimi She'eno Metzuvah Ve'oseh. That a person who's commanded to do something and does it is even greater than the person who doesn't. It's something which is discussed very often, but the most basic idea is that while we would innately sometimes assume, well, let's say, you know, my parents, they don't ask me, for somebody who's younger, hopefully. So you're out of your parents' house, right? You're not yet out of your parents' house. You're a teenager, you're at home, and you go and say, I'm going to clean my room on my own before my parents ask me. So that should be even greater. I didn't even wait for my mother or my father to ask me. Why didn't I just clean my room? So that seems to be an even greater level. Torah says, no, gadol hametzuvah ve'oseh. That when your parent says, go clean your room, that's an even bigger madriga. Why? Because, you know what? I actually wanted to clean my room. But the second that mom tells me, go clean your room, you know what I now immediately want to do? Not clean my room under any circumstance. Don't you tell me to clean my room. Now I don't want to do it. I was happy to do it on my own, but now that you're telling me I have to do it, get out of my room. I get that feeling of like, and that's why Chazal understood more in that innate sense of human nature, that a person who is commanded to do something, it's much harder to then follow through. Because what it really is the shift. It doesn't matter what the thing is. It matters where it's coming from. And it's a shift from a selfish place to a selfless place. And it's always harder to do something from a selfless place, even if it's the same action. If I choose, I don't think to give this example because those of you who have been here before know that my wife doesn't want flowers for Shabbos, but so it's not about me. If I choose, my wife doesn't ask me to bring home flowers for Shabbos, but I bring home flowers on Friday, I feel great about myself. But if she says to me, do you mind picking up the flowers for Shabbos because I really want you to pick up the flowers? Like, so I'm like, well, no, I got a lot of things to do on Friday. Right? You got that sense of like, I don't want to do it. Same thing. a person who is not commanded feels this greater desire to do it because it's of your own sense of self. It's because I want to do it. And the second that it becomes a command from the outside, it's that much harder to do. And because it's that much harder to do, and because it becomes definitionally selfless, and that's the goal of reality, is to overcome our selfish nature and become selfless, to become giving beings. He gave us, instead of just letting our physicality leave us at Har Sinai and leaving us just with this innate desire, the same way we need to eat and drink, we need to do mitzvot, he then commanded us in those mitzvot, where despite the fact, we now have both things working for us, so to speak. Deep down, our body wants to do the mitzvot. Deep down, our soul wants to do the mitzvot. And not only that, now we're given the extra ability that if we overcome our ego and do it, we can do it for our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I eat for myself. And we've talked about that higher madrigas of eating is to actually get to a place where I don't eat for myself, where I eat for God. But that's much higher madrigas, right? But when I eat for myself. I have hunger. I want to eat, and then I go and I take what I want, and I eat for myself. That could have been by the mitzvot, but now the mitzvot, every time I do a mitzvot, even if I have a natural inclination to do it, and it's something which we also have to think about when we do it, if I have a natural inclination to do chesed, we have to have kavana that I'm doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what this whole parsha is about. All of these mishpatim, there are a lot of things that have come up in this parsha that a person might do or not do because it's quote-unquote morally correct. But if we do it because we think that it's morally correct, we don't get anything from it. Our soul doesn't get anything from it. Because we have detached from the mitzvah. And the way that we gain from the mitzvot, and especially in a parsha like Parshat Mishpatim, is that we think to ourselves before we go and fulfill mitzvot bein adam lechavero, mitzvot that seem obvious, mitzvot that are could be for social order or for to keep peace, to, in order for community to be able to thrive, in order to just be nice to another person because it's the quote unquote right thing to do. Then we think to ourselves, no, I'm doing this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. That we're elevating that to its status of being a mitzvah. We're engaging the mitzvah ve'oseh, and we're bringing out a whole other layer of the mitzvah and making that mitzvah real. Making it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not for my own sense of self-worth, and not for my own sense of morality, and not for my own sense of values. It could also be for those things, but primarily I'm doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was listening to a shir I listened to ages ago. It happened to strike me that this Shabbat is... Is Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar. It's Shabbos Varcham Adar, and it's Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar. And there's a shir by Rav Kellerman. I used to listen to Rav Kellerman like 10 years ago. Like 10 years ago. A lot more frequently. I remember there was a shir of his that bridged the two. So I went back. I was in a car ride. I was doing a lot of driving on the long weekend. Mostly shuttling people. So I had a lot of downtime in the car. And so I put on the shir. I was like, why not? I'll go back to it. And he said a very beautiful thing. He talked about the fact that Parshat Mishpatim almost always comes around Rosh Chodesh Adar to remind us this time of the year is the time of the year where we need to sensitize ourselves to seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the mundane. Because that's what Megillat Esther is all about. God's name doesn't appear, but it's all God. Right? That's what this whole time of the year is about. Megillat Esther, its the very name of it is. Megillah means a Megillah. I don't know how to just scroll. Megillah means a Megillah, right? But maze legalot.
To reveal.
And what's Esther?
Hidden.
Megillat Esther, its very name means to reveal that which is hidden beneath the surface. And the Parshat Mishpatim is always around that time because it's a parsha where it's forcing us, it's pushing us to see that even in those things which we might normally think to do, which may come natural to us, which may be for social order, which may be to be kind to your friend, which may be because of outside moral values. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in that too. And that needs to be focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. That we need to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of those mitzvot. And he said very powerfully, he said he talked to Rav Akiva Tatz about this, that even more powerfully so, that the reason that we say a bracha on mitzvot but on the makom, we say a bracha on the obvious mitzvot. When you take, there's no other reason why you would take a long palm branch and a big lemon, right, around October time, and start waving it in all directions. The only reason I hope that you would do such a thing is because it's a mitzvah of lulav and etrog. Right, and if not, I guess it's all good. I don't know why you're doing that. So why are you doing that for the mitzvah? And yet, on that, which is obvious that it's for a mitzvah, we say Asher Kiddushan Hamitzvah Tivano Al Nitzvat Lulav. So why don't we say brachot on Ben Adam LeChaveiro? He said one of the reasons is because those mitzvot are training us what it means to focus on godliness when we take an action. So that way, even when we come to the more subtle mitzvot, the more earthy mitzvot, the more obvious, the more obvious in the sense the less obvious mitzvot, but the more obvious things to do, that there's no bracha there as a crutch anymore. Now we need to make sure that we focus automatically on those things as well and elevate them to the status of a mitzvah inside of ourselves. That's gadol hamitzuvah ve'oseh, is knowing we're commanded on it, focusing on that command, and doing it because of that command. And that's what that was a long tangent, but coming back in, that's the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, that even though when he took us to Har Sinai, it would have been enough for us to do the mitzvot, it wouldn't have been enough, because we would have been doing it automatically and it would have been for ourselves. And now once we're commanded, we now have that Yitzhar that's pushing against us, and now we can overcome that and do it for God. And that's what makes it a mitzvah. That's what gives it such a loftier status. B'derech ha'afshar, and I don't think this is a stretch, right? Especially in our day and age, you see that there are so many instances where women are fighting to do mitzvot that they are not mitzvah in. And to me, it's totally unsurprising that it's the exact same mitzvot that guys struggle with the most. Because of this. It's part of the same thing, because it is easier to do, because you have more of a drive to do it, and it is easier to do because you're not mitzvah. And one of the things which I always want to respond, and I guess we've now officially responded publicly, but what I've always wanted to respond is like, keep the other ones first. Were you out of mitzvot that you need to focus on these now? If you're keeping all of the other mitzvot and now you've got downtime, which I would be so impressed by. I'd love to meet that woman who's got downtime after keeping all of the other mitzvot. And you want to add this? So then, kol hakavod, then let's talk. But don't start with what you're not mitzvah in. And I think that that's part of what the Yitzhar is. Because gadol hamitzvah osa mishenu mitzvah osa. So it's an easy drive to start running after the things that you're not mitzvah to do, because you don't have a Yitzhar against it. And that is the Yitzhar, I think, tricking these people unknowingly, in the sense that it's distracting them from the things that they are actually obligated to do. And that's where the focus needs to be. And I'm not saying not to do them, but start with what you're mitzvah first, because that's, first of all, the greater and loftier level, and second of all, because you have to do it. Then let's talk about everything else. And to me, I think it's not a part of the conversation, because we're not allowed to talk like that. But it's like, for those people who are very gung-ho about it, that's not really the conversation. They're not speaking on that level. And you have to relate to them where they're at. But I think, in my humble opinion, that's where a lot of this is coming from. It's coming from a very genuine place. It's coming from a Torah place. It needs to recognize that's where it's coming from. It's the Yitzhara pushing us to ignore the things that we have to do and to push off the things that we have to do. Not ignore them, push off them. And that we have a natural inclination to go toward the things which we're not mitzvah in. And that's where the focus needs to be. One line of Chazal took us on like a 10-minute tangent. It's amazing. Should be embarrassed. It only took 10 minutes to get a tangent on the Mamar Chazal. So, we're like 8 lines up from the bottom-ish. V'yish lamar, od bevichinat hamadrega, the first word on the line is habiyuchedet, shel mitzvah v'ose, she'az yish bekol kiyum ha-mitzvah, kilshon chazal, that in the entire kiyum of the mitzvah, as Chazal say, she'amarti v'na'aser ritzoni, I said it and then you did what I wanted you to do. She'bechinat zo she'echet rak kiyish tzivoy al-kach. That that's obviously, that level's only going to exist once there is a tzivoy. Ve'od bazeh she'kashir HaKadosh Baruch Hu metzaveh, hari tzivoy notin koach elyon liyudi la'amod bazeh bechol nisnot ha'chayim. That also, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us in doing it, then that elevates it, that brings it to a whole new level, brings us to a whole new level. That it means that we're able to withstand any test, any resistance we can overcome. Inyanam harbe yish b'Torah sheba'ofen tiv'i ein ha'adam esukal l'kaimam. In the Torah, there are many things which naturally, if we were just go by human nature, there's no way we could possibly accomplish it. V'rak ma sheyish al zet tzivoy ze noten lo koach lagia lazeh. It's in that we're commanded. That's if a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us do this, he's therefore telling us, I am guaranteeing you that you have the innate capacity to do this. I would never command you something you can't do. And that means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us as a fact, he is giving us the koach to accomplish this task. Top of the next column. V'ha'olam al kulana b'ma'alat inyan atzivoy hu she'al yedei atzivoy al adavar niyesh shoresh elyon v'kedusha al yonav mitzvazo. And that through this command there is now this thing which we could have done, which we would have just been doing, that once there's this tzivoy, it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's now this linkage all the way up to the most spiritual realms, where it's now this whole mitzvah is getting its life force from. Shelachol mitzvah b'Torah yishorash elyon, that every single mitzvah in the Torah has a lofty supernal root. And when a Jew does a mitzvah, and the Jew does it because God commanded him to do it, I'm doing it for God. That's key here. That when I'm doing it because God commanded me, I'm doing it for God. That Jew is then drawing down from that supernal source of that mitzvah, kedusha, onto themselves. They're drawing it into themselves. Through that, we're clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because now I've said, I'm doing this, God, for you. I'm actively engaging this mitzvah. Now that I'm holding onto this mitzvah, I'm holding onto it. It has this supernal root. And I'm now drawing down into myself from that supernal root, the kedusha that's linked to that mitzvah, into myself. Every time we do a mitzvah, l'shem mitzvah. V'al derech shebi'er b'divrei Moshe, as the Divrei Moshe says, b'parshat Kedoshim, in Parsha Kedoshim, li'inan mitzvat kibur avaim, by the mitzvah kibur avaim, she mitzvah hamuvenet shebeseichel, v'gam agoyim mekamim otah. Then when you talk about a mitzvah like kibur avaim, it's a mitzvah which is obvious that a person should do. Most of the world doesn't do it anyway. But at least the most of the world feels bad that they don't do it. Because they just assume, again, from a moral standpoint, it's what one should do. And it's something which is obvious to every person, and even the non-Jews are doing it. So what are we to be? What are we to be commanded about it for? V'kashir adam mekayim zot mishum shum evin kach b'sichlo ein ze ela ma'aseh tov greida. When a person listens, when any of you listen to your mother or your father, and you do it because it's the right thing to do, you know what it is? It's a nice thing. Yeah, it's a good thing. Nice job. Gold star. The end. But that's it. That's it. Masha Einkein, as opposed to worlds of a difference. Kashir yukudim mihudim mekayim zot mishum kach. When a person does it because tziva Hashemit barach, because God commanded me to do it. When my mother says, can you go out? This actually happens, I guess I can't find it. My mother says, can you just run out and get me a cup of coffee? And I go out because God commanded me in Kibbut Avaim, and I go and get her that cup of coffee. It's not just a good thing. It's not just a gold star. I am drawing down Kedusha from the upper realms into my life, into my being. And the whole thing comes down to my kavanah in that moment. I'm then bringing to life the root of that mitzvah. I'm bringing down on myself Kedusha Elyona. Because I'll say that Anochi, that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu came down in the first of the Aseret HaDibrot and said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the Gemara asks, why does it say Anochi Hashem Elokecha, not Ani Hashem Elokecha? So the Gemara there in Shabbos says that Anochi is an acronym, a notrikun, for Ana Nafshi Ketivat Yahavit, which we can and spend a whole shir on, and we have spent a whole shir on in the Midrashah, and it's a discussion for another time, but I don't know how you say it without going into it. But that Chazal say that Anochi means Ana Nafshi Ketivat Yahavit, that God said, I, my soul, did I write, parentheses, into the Torah, and parentheses, and give. I, my soul, did I write and give. That the Torah is somehow God giving over of his soul to us, so to speak. Whatever that means, again, shir for another time. She'al derech she'nefesh ha-tzadik atuf b'diburo, kach k'vichol Hashem Yibarach nafsho atufa b'divrei HaTorah. That just like the soul of a tzadik is surrounded and is encompassed by their words, so too k'vichol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is it surrounded by divrei Torah. V'al pizeh harei b'chol mitzvah she'zivah Hashem Yibarach b'Torah. Chavez. In every mitzvah that God commands us in the Torah, godliness is literally within every mitzvah of the Torah. When a Jew keeps that mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is then clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means. It's not enough that he took us to our it would have been enough if he took us to our Sinai. But what a great ma'ala he gave us, that not only did he take us to our Sinai, but he gave us the Torah, is that he gave us the Torah, that even though we would have already done the mitzvot because we had totally been cleared of all spiritual impurities, by giving us the Torah, he gave us on top of that a whole nother level when we keep the mitzvot. Because now we have not just an inclination to doing the mitzvot. We now have a tzivoy, and by doing it because God said so, it brings to a worlds of a difference. It's an entirely different moment. It's an entirely different meaning. It's an entirely different self. That through this, as a person can come through this route to cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kabbalat Torah nehefchu gama mitzvot hasichliot at Matan Torah, even the quote unquote obvious mitzvot. At Matan Torah, even those mitzvot, kimo lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, liyot chelak haTorah kadosh, they became part of the Torah. Af she mitzvot hamechuyavot gam mitzad seichel haAdam ukamo sheumot haOlam gam mekayimim otan. That even though these mitzvot are obvious, and even though these mitzvot, I would say it's with the information age that we have, even past his time, we know that most of the world doesn't keep these mitzvot, but at least we know that most of the world codifies them into law and thinks we should be keeping them, right? That even though most of the world thinks we should be keeping these things as law, if we're keeping them because of the Torah transformed them into these spiritual moments where we're drawing kedusha to ourselves because we're keeping them for God, for the mitzvah. Ach bekavanat Torah ki bela mitzvot elu, these mitzvot got a mashmaut acheret. Vehavana acheret, a whole new kavanah, a whole new reality. Ukvar ein ze oto lo tirtzach, it's not the same lo tirtzach. Shebli kabbalat Torah, before kabbalat Torah. Shegam bepashtut harei lulat tziva Torah, that even though, but without giving the Torah, yishtam ofanim shafal pi shekol seichel enoshi haya makom lahatir. And also on top of that, when you limit it to man's inclinations, then there could be times where you think that there can be exceptions, right? And that's what I meant. Like also in this day and age, not only do people not keep these laws, but there are also realities where we've codified and we've made for ourselves situations where it's okay. The fact that lo alinu, that we can have in this day and age the concept of an open marriage, that as long as both the husband and the wife agree that it's okay to have physical relationships with other people, that makes it okay. Because we agree, so why is it a problem? That you can, the human mind can find ways to be matir even those things that are in the Aseret HaDibrot. That not only is it obvious, and not only does this make it now a mitzvah, but on top of that, it makes sure that we don't get trapped by the Yitzhar into thinking that we can get around these mitzvot in certain circumstances. There's no way where it's, there's no situation where one can be over lo tinaf. There's no situation where it's suddenly okay to be over adultery. And by making it a mitzvah, it means, harizah b'chol ha-matzavim ve'ofanim, there is no excuse. There's no way around it. It's not limited to my subjective perspective. It becomes objective truth and becomes objective goodness, objective morality, of which there's no way around. But again, on top of that, and even more, and even deeper than that, he's emphasizing again, that through commanding it, not only does he not give us a way out, it's again linking us into a Shor Shalyon. That in every mitzvah of the Torah, timunim b'shem ha-mitzvah u'pesukeha, sodot elyonot v'shorashim yilinim, that even in the words lo tirtzach, by looking at those letters, learning those words, seeing the Hebrew letters that are linked to it, learning the mefarshim on it, it now has infinite meaning. What is lo tirtzach? Why is it phrased that way? Why is it that number in the Aseret HaDibrot? What does it mean in terms of the way that it's positioned, it's phrased, it's all of that now has infinite meaning. It's not just don't kill. It's mazeh lo tirtzach. Ma'inyan shel lo tirtzach. What's the infinite nature of lo tirtzach? It's a whole different thing. And that's why before every single mitzvah we say, Asher kiddushan of mitzvotav, the Kadosh Baruch Hu sanctified us. He gave us kiddusha with the mitzvot. Hashem Yitbarach hichnis banu kiddusha yidei mitzvah. You understand that? Meaning, kilu, Asher kiddushan himself, you give us kiddusha. You give us greater kiddusha with every mitzvah that we do. You bring kiddusha into our lives. That every mitzvah that we do as a mitzvah, we're bringing kedusha inside of ourselves. Top of the next page. We're bringing kedusha inside of ourselves. El yonam yishorish ha-mitzvah, from the root of that mitzvah. Nosaf al etzem ha-mitzvah shemekayim, beyond just keeping the mitzvah itself. V'zeh gam kininyan mitzvah goreret mitzvah. This is also one layer of meaning of the Mishnah, mitzvah goreret mitzvah, that one mitzvah causes another mitzvah. What does it mean? Mikoach ha-kedusha shenikadesh al-idei ha-mitzvah. That every time we do a mitzvah l'shem mitzvah, we bring kedusha into ourselves, and the more kaddish we are, the more we want to do mitzvot. And therefore, mitzvah goreret mitzvah, because the more kaddish I am, the more inclined I am to do mitzvot. And therefore, one mitzvah naturally leads to another. The Alpizem Va'er Sham, B'divrei Moshe, the Divrei Moshe goes on there and says, Inan ha-psukim, ha-nizkar, the psukim that we said previously, Shabat-chila amro rak va-na'aseh ve-achar-kach na'aseh v'nishma. Now we can understand why first B'nai Yisrael just said, Na'aseh, we will do it. And then a few psukim later they said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do it and we will hear it. Dinei Chazal amru, Chazal said, Dvarim shebichtav, i'ata rashay le'omram ba'alpeh. That those things that are bichtav, it's usher to say them ba'alpeh. That, and it's certainly a havamina, that it's usher to say a pasuk ba'alpeh, to say a pasuk by heart. We don't paskin that way, generally speaking, halacha l'maaseh. But the simple meaning of Chazal is also important, and there are also other opinions, but despite how we paskin halacha l'maaseh. Don't worry, halacha l'maaseh, most cases it is fine to quote pasukim ba'alpeh. Right? One has to learn that siman in Shulchan Aruch. It's in the early nuns, I think. But Chazal said you're not allowed to quote pasukim by heart. That which is written down, you can't say ba'al peh. You have to read it. So what does that mean? Va'bior ba'zeh, ki dvarim shebichtav, things that are written down, things in Torah shebichtav, kol shorish ha-kedusha shalehem, the whole essence of their kedusha, tamun b'toch ha-ktav, it's buried deeply within the physical writing of it itself. V'morim otam ba'al peh, if we say them by heart, ein lahem ha-kedusha zo, it's lacking that kedusha. It's lacking the kedusha of Torah shebichtav because we're not reading it from within the text. V'lachein batchila kasher Moshe ba v'yisaper la'am et kol divrei Hashem. When Moshe first came, and we're back to that word v'yisaper, and he told over the words of Hashem. Hainu she'amar lem advarim elu ba'alpeh, when he gave it over ba'alpeh, he told Bnei Yisrael what God told him to tell them. Lo haya bazeh ta kedusha, it didn't have that extra level of kedusha of reading it from within the text itself. V'lachein v'ya'an kol ha'am v'yomru, and therefore the whole people said kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh, we'll do it. Rak na'aseh v'lo nishma, just we'll do it, we'll listen and we'll understand it. Shelo haya adayim b'chinat nishma la'avinu la'hagish et ha'shorish ha'kedusha al'yonat n'imam, because they were saying we can only do na'aseh if you're only telling it over to us Torah shebichtav, and we're not seeing it, we're not experiencing it in its ktav form, then we can't nishma. We can't really understand it. Because the only way to understand the depth of Torah Shebichtav is to engage it as Torah Shebichtav, is to engage it as text. And therefore we were limited to only being able to say Naaseh. Shlo aya adayin b'chinat nishma, the nishma wasn't there yet. V'rak l'achar shne'emar, v'yichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem, only after it says that Moshe wrote it down. V'yikach sefer habrit, and he took the sefer. V'yikra bozne'am, and he then read it from the text to them. When they were already b'ktav, that the kedusha of ktav was then filling those words. As amru kol asher dibar sem naaseh v'nishma. Now we can start to engage them and understand what they mean. Now we can understand the roots and the essence of the mitzvot, the higher level of the kedusha of the mitzvot. This level upon level, deeper, higher on higher levels of understanding inside of them. I my soul, did I write and give? I can engage what HaKadosh Baruch Hu then imbued into the Torah and gave to us. It's in the Torah, it's not just in Baal Peh, it's in the Ktav. Shamitzvot mviot l'dvikut b'Hashem, that these mitzvot, the way they bring us to a closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh pirush nishma. And this is what nishma means. Lahavinu lekabel et sodot ha-mitzvot ha-elyonim. To understand and to receive the secrets of the mitzvot. You know, when Rav Neventzal Shlita, the chief rabbi of the Old City of Yerushalayim, Rav Neventzal Shlita paskins that we paskin al chalama said that a person has to have active kavana for the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema. You need to know you're doing a mitzvah, and you need to actually understand the words. It's one of the few mitzvot where if you don't understand the words, then it negates the mitzvah. If you daven most of the rest of davening and don't understand what the words mean, you still fulfill the mitzvah of davening. But by the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, you don't fulfill the mitzvah unless you understand the words. And Rav Neventzal paskins halacha l'maaseh that when you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, when you say Shema, what does Shema mean? Listen. To listen or to hear. He says, no, the kavana you have to be Yotzei is to understand. That's what Shema means. That's what Nishma means. It doesn't mean we will listen to the words of Torah. We're going to let it go in one ear out the other. That I'm listening and processing and understanding. Shema Yisrael, understand Israel. That's the whole point. It's not just to say it again and again and again and to learn it ba'al peh. That defeats the purpose. Shema Yisrael. What does it mean that Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, is Elokeinu? What does that mean? That Yudkei Vavkei is Elokeinu? Those two names for God, that those are one? And that Yudkei Vavkei is also Echad. There's not much content to that pasuk unless we understand it. And that's what we need to be thinking when we say Kriyat Shema in order to be even yod to the midst of Kriyat Shema. Not every pasuk is that way. I mean, in Kilu, if you just think, Hear, O Israel, God is God. I don't know what it says in like the English translations. But it's always Hear, O Israel, whatever that means, right? Hear, O Israel. Where does O come from? I don't know. Right? That you have to think that you're still yod say if you think that. But that he says that no, deep in that, a person thinks, understand Israel. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that's what Nishma means. That's what Nishma means in Naaseh V'Nishma. Yudit Tzarich La'asot Bechol mitzvot haTorah shemekayim, that in every mitzvah that a Jew does, shegamim eino mevin et hakavanim hatmonim bahem, that even if the Jew doesn't understand the deep layers of meaning inside of that mitzvah, alav lehaamin shebechol haTorah kula ritzuva kavanot elyonot v'shorashim elyonim, that a Jew is chayev to believe that even if I don't know all of the deep secrets that are hidden within this mitzvah, I know that they're there. Because if it came from Torah Shebichtav, and it's a mitzvah from Kadosh Baruch Hu, I know it has an infinite essence, even if I don't yet know what that infinite essence is. That's Naaseh V'Nishma. I guess I'm like primed for Rav Kellerman. So Rav Kellerman, in some other shir, he mentions, I'm having flashbacks now to a summer in camp where I was listening to a lot of Rav Kellerman. He says that by Shabbos, right? Like, what does God care if I turn on a light or I don't turn on a light? Does God really care? He doesn't have, he's that petty, he doesn't have other things to worry about, he cares if I flick on the light switch or not. Rav Kellerman says there, he says, yes! My response shouldn't be, well fine, explain to me why God cares and then I'll do it. No, that's not Naaseh V'Nishma. That a person needs to think, and this is how it works with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this is how it works in relationships. You want a healthy, functioning marriage, that works in relationships also. That the response is, oh, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't want me to turn on the light switch? I'm not going to do it. If you don't want me to, I'm not going to do it. And now that I'm not doing, in addition to that, I want to understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you care so much? Because I want to get to know you better. Not explain it to me and then I'll do it. That's an adversarial relationship. That's a bad marriage. That's going to lack Shalom Bayis. That's a bad relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Explain it to me and I'll do it. No, I'm going to do it because if you said it, I care about you and I want a relationship with you and it must be infinitely deep and I'm going to do it. Naaseh. But Nishma is also important if it comes from the right place. And now, because if you're telling me this, it must be infinite, it must be deep, and I care about you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, now explain. Now I want to understand. I want to understand because I want to understand you better. Why is that important to you? That's Naaseh V'Nishma. That's how a Jew is supposed to relate to Torah. That's how a Jew is supposed to relate to mitzvot. That's what it's all about. We'll finish the paragraph and we'll conclude. And that's why it says Vayisaper first. It wasn't yet fully Torah Shebichtav, because it was being told over Baal Peh, it was given over by heart. That's why it uses the son of Sipor. Only after Moshe wrote them down, and then it came to its full essence of the mitzvah. This is the beauty of what Naaseh V'Nishma is all about. This is what we're trying to aspire for. That we're coming to a place where we're Naaseh, where we hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us, and then once we hear Him command us, and our Yetzirah then jumps up and says, whoa, you're telling me to do it, I don't want to do it. I would have done it anyway, but now I don't want to do it. That we recognize the gift that is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Yitzhahara and gives us the mitzvot, or in the opposite way, gives us the mitzvot and gives us the Yitzhahara to fight us and push us against it, to overcome that, to overcome our sense of self, to do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to recognize that when we're doing that and we do it L'Shem Shammai, we do it L'Shem Mitzvah, that we're drawing down from that infinite source that we otherwise would not be drawing down from. That we're drawing down from that infinite source of the mitzvah, that infinite root of the mitzvah, and drawing Kedusha into our lives. B'shrat Hashem, we should ourselves make the space within ourselves, carve out with ourselves the space to have a full Kabbalat Torah in this Shabbat of Kabbalat Torah, the second half of Kabbalat Torah, to receive the Torah with a full heart and an excitement, to remove as much of our physicality as possible and purify ourselves that we want to do it with our whole bodies and our whole souls. And that when we go and then receive that Torah and go and do it, that we do it with a kavana to do it l'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through that bring Kedusha into our lives and bring ourselves a deeper relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'ezrat Hashem. Shkar.